things here. I hadn't even thought about doing an offering for Paulo. Because he's a family member, we take care of him, he takes care of us, but my dad would be amiss if we didn't open it up. If anybody wants to participate in their ministry, $2, $20, $200, $2 million, whichever, you know, if anybody wants to. If you don't have it today, just get with Dr. Scott or I, or if you do have it, put it back there. Doc, we don't need to do it. We need to check today, but we'll just collect what everybody's got, and we'll get it to you guys. You have the release spiritually to do what you feel needs to be done. 3-hour sermon, I don't know, but
12:45?
Yeah, I say we'll just keep it calmed down. If you start seeing people nod off, then you may have to shut her down. But you do have the release to do that, and feel free to head out there.
Thank you. First of all, thank you so much for having me and my family in here. You guys are so lovely. And so far, we're so enjoying the church. And I think I was talking to Nick right now. I was just saying, this is real church. Like when you guys don't want to stop talking, you know, like the guy up front, he's trying to, hey, can you guys be quiet and look over here? And you guys not stopping, you guys becoming a real church. It means you guys have a real relationship. It means you guys getting together as family. And I think church is not a factory. Church is not a business. Church is a family, is an organism. And in fact, when God created humanity, He never intended us to be an organization. He always intended us to be a family. So that's why He started with family, and He will finish everything as a family. That's why Jesus said in John 14 that He was going back to the Father, making everything ready. I mean, like there's plenty of rooms for every one of us. And He's making everything ready so then we can be family there. So like when we take communion here, we're not taking one more communion. We take one last communion. Because in the last day, He's going to call all of us and He'll sit down here, son. And He's going to serve us. So I really enjoy being here with you guys. And I know this is a real family. And I want to pray a little bit and just ask the Holy Spirit to come and lead us this morning. I believe I have not came from Brazil to just speak or say something. I think I get like loads from the Lord. I have like luggages that I want to deliver here. And I know you're not here in vain. Some of you guys came asking for, Lord, talk to me. Jesus, I need you to touch my life. Jesus, I want an encounter with you. I don't know your necessity today, your need. But I know one thing. The Lord set up this appointment. And today is something that He wants to do in a different way. You know, like you get a Brazilian speaking here. By the way, I want to thank God because I could not speak English. So when I met Joe and Ann, the only reason I was invited to be with them was because by 14 years old, when my mom took me to the Amazon, I was in a room in the mission field, in a bedroom with 3 other guys. And all these guys was just speaking English. And I came from a region where I could not speak anything in English. Well, I thought, is there another language in the world? And this guy was talking English with me, and I could not understand. So during the night, I got on my knees, and I said, Dad, Heavenly Father, teach me how to speak like them, and teach me how to understand everything they say. Overnight, when I woke up, my mind was touched, and somehow, and don't ask me how it happened, I just know that they start talking to me the day after, and I start understanding them. So I haven't been to any English school before. I think I'm illiterate. Like I don't understand, you know, why you guys talk the way you do. But I think somehow God makes something inside of my mind and He made me talk to you guys and understand. So I believe I'm here used by Him, and He gave me that gift with a purpose. And that's the purpose why we get gifts, to deliver, to communicate with people, with the body, and bless the body, activate the body. So I wanna pray with you guys a little bit. If for some reason you're not understanding what I'm saying, just lift up your hands and let me know, and I will stop, and Nick will interpret it for me, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, glorify Jesus this morning. He is the most important person here. Holy Spirit, I know you are leading us right to all truth that is Jesus and His Word. So I ask this morning that the word, the message I have to give to these people, to your body here in Corona, in Indiana, may not only reach their heart, but let it be fruitful to the point they will be overflowing in revelations, in blessings, in baptisms, when you're going to come upon them with more love, with more patience, with the truth, with joy, with holiness. So that's what we're asking today. Just be comfortable among us and use my mouth. Don't let me talk anything that I want to talk or share what I want to share. Just come and use my mouth to communicate to your body here, your family here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I also want to honor the Pranger family. The way they have been hosting us is just, it's just amazing. I feel embarrassed to see the level of love they have. It's just amazing. But I could not expect less, knowing Joe and Ann Pranger. And I want to honor these two, this couple, this man of God and this woman of God, Joe and Ann. Everything you're going to hear now, everything I'm sharing, doesn't come from me. It came from a seed that they inserted inside of me. And everywhere I go and I preach, I do some conferences in some places, and I never take the credit. I always said, these people walk with God, and they just share with me, and I'm just reproducing whatever they give. So I hope you enjoy. They're not here today, but this is what they carry in their spirit. And by the way, they are so powerful that they sow seeds in many nations. So you guys will hear from them, not only from us, but from many other people still. Okay, so I'm getting in the last probably 5 months, and I think when I went here talking to Nick, the Lord start to really move something inside of me. And he start sharing with me the necessity that I need to be looking over and studying some more about family as church, or church as family. And thinking about that, I'm here to talk to you today about how can we become real church. And one thing that I believe is to become a healthy church, we need to be real people. So we're not faking here. And every organization where people fake, they're not real. They're not transparent. They're not real people. That organization has problems. And the church has a lot of problems, a lot of issues. But in the end of that, becoming a real people, Jesus can become Jesus in us. Not only saving, but transforming us every day. Giving grace and mercy and protecting and lifting us up. So this morning I want to talk to you guys out of this title. A healthy church is made of real people. And the reason I'm saying that, first of all, I just want to give you guys an introduction. I know you guys have been talking a little bit about David, and I have been studying David, his life, for probably the last 2 years. And I'm really going deep on that. But one of the things that I notice is David had a great family. He was a great guy. And he knew about God through his family. But something happened on the way, and up front, David became a great king, but somehow the Bible shows us that he wasn't the best dad. David had an awesome heart towards the Lord. The Lord loved him so much, but he could not handle well his own family. So if we say that the kingdom is not about an organization, it's about family. What I'm trying to say is the ministry that God entrusted to David was really important. But it was not his highest priority. His highest priority was his family. And I think in this point, David failed. And I'm not here to share about his failure, because I have my own failures. But I'm here to show you a few things and a few points that can help us avoid be a great man in business, a great woman in business, a great man and woman in church and ministry and the society, but somehow we're missing the point. What is the priority? Family is priority. When Jesus wants to touch and bless you, he's going to do that through your family. It's not only through an organization. So here's the point, what I'm saying, that as a king, he was ruling really well. He had like people around him, people who loved him a lot. He was just and righteous, but his family, his kids, and he had a few kids. But I want to share really fast with you about one of them. His name is Absalom. How do you say that in, I mean, how is that in English, his name? Absalom. Okay, so Absalom, Ab come as dad or father, Shalom come as peace. And what I'm thinking is, no father will name a son Absalom or father of peace if he was not intending and project this kid to become the next king, the one who's going to be uniting nations, you know, and empires or whatever. So there was a great plan for this little kid called Absalom. Absalom was growing up around a dad who was like a hero. Everybody wants to be with David, and Absalom was looking at him. So he became Absalom's hero. One day, David was so busy with life that family wasn't the highest priority for him. And something happened inside of his family. One of the half-brother of Absalom had a situation with his half-sister. And when they had this situation among them that was emotionally involved, I see that David wasn't aware because he was very busy. So, yes, we had an abuse right there in the family. And Absalom was like, hey, sister, everything gonna be okay? You don't worry. Or dad will take care of that. He's gonna talk to my brother Amnon, and we're gonna fix that. You're gonna be okay. And the Bible shows us that 2 years passed by and nothing happened. What? We got a case of abuse inside of the house. And the kids was just waiting, dad, do something. Dad, they wasn't calling a king to judge any cause. They was calling their dad. Dad, something inside of our house, what are you going to do? Dad, what's the direction? Dad, where are we going to go? David was quiet. I don't know if he got so shocked and he didn't know how to deal with that. I don't know if he was so busy. What I know is something happened and we need the dad to address the situation, to give direction, to bring comfort, to bring like security, and nothing happened. He was quiet. David was quiet. And the problem with that is when he became quiet, he created bitterness. The silence when he needed to speak create bitterness. So with bitterness, not only Absalom, but his sister was like, dad does not pay attention to us. Dad is not even looking to us. Where's dad right now when we need him? 2 years passed by. David didn't do anything. Absalom decided to do. So he said, I'm going to do that with my own hands. You know what happened? He started bringing conspiration to his family. He starts saying, if my dad's not becoming a dad, I will become the model that I think is right. I don't know if you're following me, but in the absence of your position, the enemy will use anything he can to replace your position in your house, in your business, in your marriage, in your relationship with your kids, in your relationships with people. So once David was out trying to deal with everything he had, Absalom took over. But he couldn't because he wasn't the king. So he became rebellious. He ran away for a couple years and he came back strong. He came back with more bitterness, with problems in his heart. And he started yelling to the whole city, saying, hey, you're going to talk to the king? You're going to ask him for counsel? Come on, this king is not it's not that good. Don't you see what's happened to our family? Don't you see our family? By the way, Absalom used his authority and hands to kill his brother. So his servants killed his brother. So he did justice with his own hands. The point here I want to bring it to you is, no matter who David was, Absalom wasn't right. He did it wrong. But I also want to think in this kid that was born with a name Absalom, father of peace, who became a murderer, who became a rebellious. I mean, what can transform a little kid that is like a great person with a great future? Now he's hided, he ran away, and now he's fighting against his dad. What happened in the between? What happened in this gap? The absence of a father. The absence of a father can transform great people with great futures in failures. And what I'm trying to say, and what you're listening out of a man who has no dad. So my dad abandoned me when I was in my mom's womb. He said, I don't want him, and you better go and take a medicine and abort him. So my mom went to a clinic or to some house, and she took the medicine that the woman gave her. And she said she felt bad. She felt really sick, but nothing happened to me because God had a plan. So when I'm talking to you that the absence of a father can cause destruction in the future, in the history, I'm not talking about somebody who has a perfect background with the parents. I had a messy family, and God transformed my life. And that's why I can tell you God made me a father, not only to my kids, but God made me a father for so many people. As a pastor, I hug people, I help people, and I'm like, committed to him to say, Lord, help me restore the man or the family in their position to not let the enemy come and steal that is beautiful, this great and awesome plan that you have. So the point with that is, in the end, Absalom died, running away from his father. David's counselors and friends went after him, and somehow he was threatened, and he died by himself. What I'm saying by that is, David was back in his house, I think in a balcony, and when he heard that his son died, he started yelling and crying. And he was, Absalom, Absalom, my son, Absalom, Absalom, my son, I wish I could have you in my arms again. Absalom, Absalom. Listen, I don't lost my son, but who lost a child here? You know the level of pain. David knew that moment he lost his son, not for rebellion, not for rejection, not for the world. He lost his son forever, for eternity. And now in the end, he was regretting, like, what did I do? Why did I focus so much in this situation and I forgot to do that? So maybe he was like, Lord, can you bring back the time? Can you put this baby in my arm again? I started thinking, like, probably David was looking at his arm and thinking, oh, my little baby, Absalom, Absalom, you are Father of Peace. Where are you? I need you now. It's over. It's gone. And I think the Lord is telling us today, David is a great man, and he needed to go through restoration, of course. He wasn't a good dad, but we can be a great man, a great woman after God's heart, and we can have great families. You know why? Because we have the Holy Spirit. And I think that's the main point. The Holy Spirit wants to come, and he wants to work on the church, and he wants to help us to become a healthy church. Being real people. You don't need to say you know when you don't know. You don't need to say you can when you don't can, or when you cannot. But you can call somebody and say, hey, I don't know, can you help me? Hey, I can't do that, could you do that with me? The point is, we don't need to be perfect, we just need to be yield to the Holy Spirit. We just need to be humble enough to say, it's not about me, it's about my family. So whatever I can do, if I need to humble myself, if I need to ask for whatever, if that's for the sake of my family, I need to do that. The same thing Jesus did, if that's for the sake of the church, guys, go and do it. Do to your family, to your wife, as I did for my bride. Jesus said that. And he's telling us now, do it for your family, as I did for my bride. So I want to bring to you guys a thought that I have been developing, and I think it can help us, because I'm also after a conversation with Nick about discipleship and things like that. It messed me inside. It messed me in the positive way, because I start saying, man, I need to be intentional in making disciples. I need to be intentional in help these kids to becoming man. I need to be intentional in building the church, not as people want to, but as God intended to. So what I'm going to be sharing with you is out of a lot of things that the Lord is moving inside of me, and I believe I have at least 4 ingredients that will help us to become a healthy church, being real people, and then create a healthy environment for a healthy church. And before that, me and my wife, we were traveling one day. So I talk about David, a reality in the Bible. I want to talk to you now how it can be true and possible now in the present life. She wasn't with me, I'm sorry. I was by myself in a city called Brasilia. And I went to preach about the Father's heart. And I start, like, for 3 days, you know, he just gave me 45 minutes. Normally they give me 3 hours, I'm just kidding. So I was preaching right there in the church. And in the last day, people was like crying, being healed. And I was in the stage, and I think I laid down. The presence was so relaxing. I laid down right there. And I had this woman right in the middle of the church saying, like, can you come? And I said, you can come here. So she went there. And she said, Pastor, I need to tell you something. I said, what do you want to tell me? She said, my son called me mama, mom. I said, are you his mom? She said, yes. I said, how old is he? 8 years old. And you tell me he called you mom when you're his mom? She said, okay, I'm sorry. Let me tell you why I'm so excited. She said, his dad left when he was only 7 months. And his dad said, this kid will be a failure. I don't want him. You need to choose now, or me or him. And she said, I want him. I will take care of him. He said, so I'm out. Don't give him my name. Don't tell him I exist. And tell him, let him know I hate him. She told me that. And she says, since then, this kid never experienced the love of the Father. And he never called her mom. The first word he was calling her was her own name. And in the future, he was calling her bad names, like cussy names. And she said, Pastor, he never called me mom. That was the first time. I said, okay, what happened? How it happened? She said, you were preaching and you called him up front. I did. I look at the boy and I say, okay, let me do some kind of drama, you know, in here so then people can understand. I said, I want you, little kid. Can you come here with me? And he was like, she said, you go. So I put him by me and I start talking to him as a dad talked to a son. And he was just answering yes or no. I said, I don't think I did a good job with this kid. You know, like I need somebody to talk. Like God, the Father wouldn't have a great relationship. And he wasn't helping. So I look at him and say, I love you so much. Thank you. So, oh, you helped me so much. Thank you. Thank you, Mom. He helped me a lot. So he went back. Service ended. And she came to talk to me. And she said, you know what happened? After you did that, he sat down and he was so quiet. He sat in my leg and he said, Mom, I look at him and say, son? He said, can I call you Mom? And she said, I start crying. He was crying. I said, of course you can call me mom. I'm your mom. And he said, can I hug you? And she said, of course you can hug me. She said, what happened? He said, that man saw me. She said, son, everybody sees you every day. He said, nobody saw me like he saw me. She said, what are you trying to say? He said, mom, when he looked at me and when he said, I love you, his eyes entered inside of me. Came in here and I felt something here and I just felt like calling you mom. Can I do that? She said, come. And she hugged him. I said, okay, I want to hear some more. Then she said, Pastor, you know why he was with me that day and you saw there was no other child? I said, why? Because he was kicked out the class, the kids' class. The pastor said, this is the last time. I mean, last week was the last time. Now he has to be with you. Because he kicks the other kids, he teaches them bad things. And he said, well, we can't handle him. If you can't handle him, you got to go out of the church and take him to another church. He's causing troubles here. She told me that was the 4th school that he was kicked out as well. Like regular school, because he was a bad kid. And she said, can you help me with that? I said, well, I think everything that is happening now is already helping him. So I went back home. 1 year later, they invited me to preach there again, and I went to that church. I entered in that church. I finished the conference. The first thing I want is like, can I have lunch with you? And she said, yes, come to my house. So I went to her house. I want to ask about her son. And he was like the most polite kids I ever found. And he was like, Mom, can I open the fridge and give something to my little brother? She said, yes. Mom, can I go outside of my friend's house? I said, is he doing that because I'm here? She said, no. Since you left here, since what happened, he became another child. Now, he is one of the person who helps the teachers and the church. And he helped all the kids. He's teaching the kids. She's saying everybody loves him. He's like invited to go in many houses because he's just another kid. And he's like that, obedient all the time. He's like complimenting. He's not doing bad in school. He's doing great. And he's still being a good boy, you know, full of energy. And I said, what do you think happened? She said, Pastor, I think when you look at him. And I know one thing. Joe Pranger one day, he looked at me. He had a mask, you know, a mask of Jesus. And he looked at me and he said, when you look at me, don't look at me as Joe Pranger. Look at me as Jesus. Because when I look at you, I'm not looking at you as Paul. I'm looking at you as Jesus. So when I look at this kid, I look with the eyes of Jesus. And what I'm telling you by that, there will be a lot of fatherless people around us. There will be a lot of people with family, father and mother, but they are absent. They're not paying attention because they have their own problems. They only souls and mind diseases. So they don't have time to deal with the family. The Lord is raising a church who's going to be a father for the fatherless. We're going to be adopting kids. We're going to be bringing them. I'm saying biologically, you know, like you're going to bring people to your family, but spiritually as well. This is our job, to really make a healthy environment. And I'm telling you these stories. This is a story because I know through that it is possible to transform anybody's life through the love of Jesus. And here's a verse that I want to read for you guys. You can follow up with me. I'm going to try to read in English. As I told you, I'm illiterate. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. Paul is saying to the Corinthian church, he's saying, for though you have countless guides in Christ, countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. And then he said, I urge you, then, be imitators of me. So Paul is actually helping us this morning to understand that church is built out of intentionality. We need to have an organic relationship. We need to have our organic structure, but we need to be intentional. Intentional in develop people. Because if we not develop, we're not going to become mature. If we not become mature, we're not going to get our inheritance. What I'm saying by that is, I'm not going to give a car key for a small baby or for a 3-year-old. Because a car key is dangerous for who's not ready. So a father help a man or a girl to grow up to the maturity. And that's what Paul is saying. Although you have a lot of teachers, a lot of coaches, although you have a lot of programs of trainings and everything, and a lot of pastors and leaders, you guys don't have many fathers. But he's saying, I generate, I create, I birth you in the spirit. I am your father. I'm asking the Lord, Lord, in a fatherless world, how can I do that looking for somebody and say, I am your dad? Well, somebody did that for me. My life was a mess. I was going the wrong direction. I was full of rejection. And somebody looked at me and said, hey, from this moment on, I am your dad. Daddy, I'm raising, I'm birthing you in the spirit. And he did. He corrected me. He edified me. He trained me. He put me aside when it was necessary. He spoke hard and rushed with me when it was necessary. You know why? Because that's how we become developed. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 that Jesus became who he became through the things he suffered. So maturity come by hard work. Maturity come by a lot of training, sometimes a lot of stress. It's part of life. And I think I was talking to Gabe here today. It's time for us to let everybody live a real life, facing things, not alone. We're going to be as a fathers, as parents, we're going to be helping them. But anyway, let me show you real fast 4 points that I believe it's vital for us to build a healthy church. Here is the first one is community. Community. Community develops us. If I'm involved in community, I'm going to be developed. And we think the first community starts in Acts. No, it starts in the gospel with Jesus. Jesus modeled us the real model of family right in the gospel. He chose like these 12 guys. And he lived life with them. He brought them close to him. So community is key. We see that in the Garden of Eden. Is that Eden, right? God of Eden. We see when God creates family there. And we see Jesus reproducing that. Community is key. Key to develop people. For example, we're talking about church. We come to church. We're going to sit down here. We can't be a community here. Well, we can be a group just listening to a word. Community means when you leave here, we're going to go to Nick's house. We're going to go eat something in his house. We're going to watch football. We're going to make fun of him when his team loses. You know, that's community. Community is when somebody's needing something, we get somebody to help. As Jesus was teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, if you have 2 coats, just give one to them. If you have 1 pair of shoes, just take one and give one to the other person. Why? Because that's community. Community develops us. And it's really hard to live in community, especially when we're talking about church. Because church intended to be the whole time rooted, living together the whole time, trusting one another, having a word to one another. Well, but we have a lot of problems. We have arguments in here. We have rumors that happen in here. We have that person who is talking about that person. We have that person who he is like, oh, I love you, my brother. You're so beautiful. But in the back is saying, oh, that guy is ugly. You know, things like that. So, but that's church, and that's how we do community. Community develops us. So thinking about family and church, the way Jesus did with his disciples when he said, I am birthing you guys in the spirit. The way he did with the disciples is the same way we do with our family. We don't want our kids to sleep until noon. I don't know about you, but like normally we don't. As a father said, hey, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. It's time to wake up. It's too late. Normally dads do like that, you know. Hey, come on. You guys got to clean the dishes. You guys got to, you know, help organize your bed, help organize the house, take the trash out. Isn't that a family? That's what we do in family. But if you don't do that, you're not going to be preparing your kids to become married. So many of marriages that we have that is broken now is because they did not got developed at home. So working, serving one another, participating of everything, coming here and cleaning, organizing, doing worship, preaching, washing the bathrooms, you know, like serving waters, preparing food, being with the kids, being with the teenagers. All of that in church is a way how we can get developed. So we need to understand to become a real community and a healthy church, we cannot only come and be in attendance, just be here watching what is going to happen. We need to be participating. Community means you're part of that. You're part of my family now, so we need to do that. We pay the bill. We not only sit down together to eat, we pay the bill after we eat. So everybody has their own role. So community develops us. And I see that in Romans chapter 12, verse 4 and 5, that says, just as each of us has a body with many members, and these members do not all perform the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member is linked to all the others. Community. We need to be linked. And the problem is, I don't know about your culture, I know about mine. We love everybody in our church. Everybody love each other. But like, if somebody talk about my kids, I'm going to kill them. Don't talk about my kids. Don't correct my kids. That's me. And I'm telling you, sometimes I'm not around them. You know what I do? I talk to my people, like, if you guys get to correct them, just correct them. Church supposed to protect each other. That's community. I cannot assume to say, hey, his dad is not doing what should be done. That's why this kid's getting lost. I need to talk to you. You know, hey, I'm seeing, maybe you're not seeing the same, but I'm seeing something. I think you need to think about that at least. I need to talk to the father, but if the father's not there around, I need to talk to the child. What I'm trying to say by that is we are members of one body. We became one. If someone is suffering, I'm suffering too. If someone is dying, I'm dying too. If someone is not well, I'm not well too. So that's what community does. We hold hands and we live together. We walk together. We don't give up about anybody. We walk and we stay together. And one thing to end this point is, when I talk about David and I said David just got silence, silence can create bitterness. And sometimes we don't like confrontation because we think confrontation is like fighting. Confrontation is not fighting. Confrontation is helping our brother to keep up, to keep walking, to keep well. So confrontation is a good thing, but we don't want that because that demands work. Let's sit down. Let's talk. You know, like, who's going to be winning? Nobody will win. We just need to bring the Bible and say, hey, who needs to follow the Bible more in that point? That's the main thing when we talk about community. The second point that I have here is, if community develops us, identity establishes us. So once you are in community, you're able to be birthed in your identity. And of course, I know you guys hear a lot about that, and I want to go deep in that. But when we talk about identity, first of all, we know that we're children of God, sons of God. I heard that from Annie Pranger. She was looking in my eyes. She went to Brazil. She took me and my wife in a hotel room, and she said, for the next 7 days, cancel everything you have. You guys are going to be taught in deep stuff. That's what she said. I said, okay. She brought a lot of papers. I still have all those papers. And she put it there. She said, we're going to study that. From 8 in the morning until 6 p.m., we were there listening to Joe and Annie Pranger. And it was teaching us about identity. So I know most of you guys understand that. But what I want to say is we are child of God. So father and mom, once you're here, there will be a point in your children's life where they will need to look at God and they will look at you and say, don't you know I'm supposed to be in my dad's house? Don't you know I'm supposed to be doing his business because I'm his child? So the main point is, if we're not raising our family to him and through him, we're going to be raising them to ourselves. And then we're going to be printing in them our identity. Our identity has problems. It's not perfect. So we need his identity in us. And that's why we need to point to him. That's why when the kids come, dad, I need that. I say, you got to pray. Dad, what do you think about that? You need to ask the Holy Spirit. So once they have this connection with the Holy Spirit, they will know we're a child of God. As Romans 8:14, it says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God, though they are child of God, sons of God. So one of the ways we know we really have this healthy identity, the identity of Christ, is that we're not only coming to church, we're listening to God. And I know this is not easy for everybody. We have different mindsets. We have different profiles. But listening to God is not a privilege of some people, of pastors. Listening to God is a privilege of a child of God. A father wants to talk to you. If you got a prophecy, it's great. Somebody going to give you a word of knowledge. Somebody going to give you a prophecy. It's awesome. But what we really need is to listen His own voice. And He wants to teach you more than you want to be taught. So He's the one who's going to give you the first step. So when I talk about the identity established us is we need to know who we are. And here's my point. With all the work I'm doing in my nation, in my church back there, all the work you guys doing here, when we go out of here, who we are? What is the result of our beliefs in terms of our identity? When somebody outside speak anything bad about us, when there is rumor about us, when somebody's like trying to tease us, how are we going to respond to that? As a child or as a rejected person? As a person who is in fear? Identity is vital in the church. And we need to know that I cannot birth somebody in their true identity if I'm not by Him, edify Him through the Word. I think we talk a lot about the mistakes and errors of people and so feel about how special they are, how beautiful and how unique they are. And I want to tell you, we need to edify more, because through the edification of the Scripture, we're going to raise real children of God in the church. And we only can do that when we forget about ourselves and we start looking to the other and say, hey, let me speak to you how God sees you. When was the last time somebody looked at you and said, hey, do you have a minute? Let me tell you how God sees you. You're a man of God. God knows you. Man, you're beautiful. Never saw somebody so beautiful as you. Your heart is sweet. See, you're laughing. You're supposed to be clapping. I never saw somebody with such a heart as you have, like you, such a servant. The first day I got here, every time you come talking to me, you hug me. I'm not pretending. You hug me. You make me feel family. You make me feel loved and accepted. So you have a father's heart. You know, as a father's heart, I saw how you're dealing with the guys here. You came to support them. You just playing piano. You're not doing anything to embarrass them. Like, you have a father's heart. But you do that, like, by the backstage. You see what is wrong, and you go try to fix it. You're going to try to realign. You're a real man, and you're going to be a great husband. Are you his girlfriend? I'm not prophesying. Anyway, well, yeah, I got to prophesy. Take care of her. Somebody's like throwing pillow in her. Anyway, what I'm saying by that is normally we don't stop to say that, but we're gonna wait until he do something wrong and say, hey, you did wrong. Why you did that wrong? Why you spoke like that? Why you didn't hug me? So we need to pay attention that our identity in Christ is not based in our mistakes. It's based in who He is. So when we look at Him, we need to look at Him as Jesus. And I'm telling you, as a father, I need to get better in this. I love my kids. I call them all the time. I say how I love them. I project them, but I need to get better in this. And I think the Lord is saying, as you get better with them, you're going to get better to the church. We cannot let offense come to our hearts. It's going to create bitterness, and we're going to see people out of like a bad eyes. We need to look at them through Christ. So community develops me. Identity establishes me. A child of God is established, and nobody can take that person out of that rock. The third is character. And character supports me. I cannot learn about character by myself. It's about a legacy. I know a woman who was talking to me, and me and my wife, she said, you know what, I think I married wrong. I married with this guy because I heard in the church that I should marry the guy, and I should not try any other. But my mom said, don't do that. You need to date at least 20 guys and kiss all of them, so then you will know who kisses better, and that's going to be, I said, what counsel is that? Well, this girl now is divorced. And after she divorced this guy that we helped them, we tried to help them, she got married with another one that betrayed her, and she got married with another one that betrayed her, and she's looking for another one, the fourth. Can you imagine? When we talk about character, it comes from our home. It comes from our parents. There is a guy in my church that his dad, when it was driving and the police would come and he was like speeding, you know, like, let me see your license. He would put like a $100 bill there. Oh, yes. You know, like, and unfortunately, many police guys in my nation will get the $100 bill and say, oh, you're all fine. You're not fast. Of course, you can speed a little bit more, you know, like. So that we learn. So what I'm trying to say by that, discipleship is not only for church. Discipleship is for life. It's for family. And discipleship happens naturally. We don't plan. Oh, let's sit down here for 1 hour and let's talk. No. Discipleship happens normally. So when it comes to our kids and our relationships at home, they hear what we say, but they will do what we do. And I don't want a day just to be listening to what I'm saying. I want a day to be reproducing what I'm doing. Character. So we need to pay attention to our lives. The way we treat our wives. The way we treat other people around us. What we talk when nobody's listening. You know, how we behave. Character. We teach. You know, how we deal with money. How we deal with our word. How we deal with the opposite sex and everything. So character will support you when you need it. When the world come crush upon you, your character will support you, will make you strong enough. And the last point is mission. So when you have character, first of all, community develops me and creates in me an identity. Identity gives me a solid character, and a solid character will make me a trustworthy person where God can entrust a mission. And here's the point. A church without a mission is not a church. A church without a purpose is not a church. As a family without a mission is not a family, a healthy family. A family without a purpose is not a healthy family. So we need to have a mission, a purpose. And I want to tell you this out of my own experience in my life. I believe all families here has a family calling, cause, project. Vision that the Lord entrusted to you. What I'm saying by that is somebody back there, I don't know, your grandpa or whoever, messed up and wasn't following the Lord. The Lord found you and you're here today and He's reminding you, I have a plan not only to your life, I have a plan for your family, for your inheritance. I have a plan for your future. So your descendants, like your sons and the sons of your sons will follow what you live in today. That's what the Bible says, that the blessing in Abraham will reach 1,000 generations. So if the curse is reaching my grandma, my grandpa, and my dad, the blessing through Jesus will not only reach my family, but my future generations. What I'm trying to say by that is you do have a mission as a church and a mission as a family. And the point is, your kids need to know what is your family mission as they know what is your family business. Because if they are being developed, they have the identity, you have been teaching them well, for they have like a healthy character, it's time now for them to understand you're not living in this earth by accident just to making money. You have a cause. You have a vision. The Lord trusts us with this. And what I'm trying to say by that is some of you will just build business to help other people. But some of you will have like an education area, you know, atmosphere. You're gonna have the best teachers in your house. You're going to have the best medical doctors in your house. I'm not saying that our mission is 100% related just to church things, church movements. What I'm saying is there's something that God entrusted you to bring healing into the society. And that is the anointing, specific anointing that your family carries. And I want to, what I want to tell you is your strength is not in your wisdom. Your strength is in your identity. Because in your wisdom, you have been, it's not yours, by the way, it's from God. But your identity is who you are. So you leave that. So the Lord is really telling us, what is the purpose of your family? And I believe you do have a purpose for your family. I think the Lord has put an anointing in you, in your life. And through you, he's going to be restoring financially the next generation. You have been blessed so far. And it's like I believe the Lord is releasing keys in your hands. So then you can open doors that was closed to your own family. And I believe you're going to do that, like in the material realm. But because you are so grounded in the spiritual realm, the Lord is saying, I'm entrusting you wealth. That's what I believe. That's what I'm seeing you, man. And I know God lift you, and he brought you through a lot of things. And he's just saying, be ready, because I'm approving you for the next season. And if you came to hear that, you approved. It, you know, whatever you have been came through and facing, the Lord's saying, you did well. It's time now for the next level. What I'm saying by that, brothers and sisters, is missions projects me. So if you want to grow as church, I'm not talking about numbers. If you want to go and influence to really praise the Lord and glorify him, we need to understand our main mission. And I finish this with community and home must to be transferred to community in church. We need more talking, less program. We need more money to invest in people than in many other things that seems like let's attract people. Community, what our kids want, they don't want what we can do for them. They want us. Dad, can you buy me this? Everybody likes gifts, but they just want our presence. Community. Make sure you're gonna leave here today understanding that the Lord has given you your first calling. That's your family. Second of all, he's really telling us identity. I don't know how was your past. I don't know what you went through. And if there's something that must be healed and restored in your identity, the Holy Spirit himself will be guiding you through that. So it's just a matter of don't wait for a man. I think for some time in my life, I was waiting for a person to do something in my life. And the Lord said, let me do that my way. So man cannot give you what only God can give. And I believe all of us as a child, we have an open door. We just enter there and talk to him. If you need wisdom, he's going to give you wisdom. If you need like a specific blessing, he's going to give you. So identity, we need to be grounded knowing who we are. And we need to know how can we pass that to our kids. How can I help your kids to see Jesus in me? To the point that what you don't have, I have. And then we help them as a corporate work. That's the work of a community that creates identity and character. How can we do that in church? How can we help people to do not go in the bad direction? And we're going to just... You know, I'm going to just be watching here because I know it's not going to be well. Well, I'm going to talk to this kid. I'm going to do something to help them. And in the end, how can we fulfill our mission? First of all, how can we know our mission? Every year we take a time with our family to pray and we fast. And we do that in the beginning of the year, probably for a number of days. And we ask the Lord, reveal, talk. David is the one who is like, Dad, we need to pray. Dad, we need to pray. Dad, we need to pray. Okay, we're going to pray. Dad, we need to pray. So I know the Lord is entrusting him the intercession for the family, for the future. What I'm trying to tell you is, if you're not with your family seeking God together, they will not learn that they will have a mission. They will just say, my dad is a great man. My dad has a great mission. It's not your dad's mission. It's our mission. It's the family mission. And I finish by that saying, the Lord brought us here today to show us this point. Not judging anybody or not feeling judged. But all we're getting here today is to understand that you might have a lot of teachers. You don't have many fathers. There are people who are going to be among us today who are going to become a reference to you. And I think most of us here who has a little bit more maturity, we cannot be afraid of saying, here I am if you need to talk. Yes, do you need help? I want to help you. We don't need a specific pastor to do that. We just need to be a child full of the Holy Spirit because we are family. And I think that's what the Holy Spirit wants. Like everything you need, it's right here inside of this church. All resources, all answers, everything is inside of this church. And when we do that as a family, loving one another, then we're going to grow in community. We're going to be strong in our identity. We're going to be working righteousness through our character. And we're going to glorify God through our mission. I want to pray for you this morning. I want to bless your life. And I know the Lord will be doing something. Something in your life as He's doing mine. Reminding or remembering that David wasn't a bad father because he wanted. Somehow he got slippery in the way, backslid. And he didn't have a person by him to call him back and say, hey, pay attention to this. I hope you become a father for fatherless. My hope is I want to leave you. I want to know that the Lord is entrusting you. Lord, but I'm so small. I don't know much. You know, I can't much. He's saying, do what you have with what you have. What you can with what you have. So just give what you have been given. Father, I thank you for your presence here. I thank you for your love. And I really want to pray this morning that this church may be known as a real family and as a real church. I pray for the light, for the love and grace that will flow through this place, will bring so many other people. And I pray that they will be multiplied, not for the number of services they're going to do in here, but multiplied by the houses they're going to be meeting during the week. I pray for schools to be reached. I pray for families to be reached. I pray for business to be touched and reached because of the church spread and leaving the gospel outside. I pray that everything you need to start in this church, in our church back there in Brazil, in our lives, you may have freedom to do that. We say, Lord, the church is yours. Our life is yours. Our family is yours. Just do it accordingly to your will. And Lord, I pray, help us to learn with all the mistakes we heard this morning and make us a man and a woman of God who wants to please our heart above all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you.